The Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio.
It is indeed the KSL Greenhouse Show. Thanks for being here with us this morning. Again, Maria, enjoying a nice day off, and I get the pleasure of sitting in and chatting with Ton. I'm Dave Meekum, and it's just fun to be here with you, Ton.
It is good to be here. We have a few texts, it looks like, and it looks like my text system is
functioning better than yours. So why don't you grab one of those and let's go with it.
All right. What are some last season suggestions for lawns, watering, fertilizing, etc.?
Ooh, fertilizing, most definitely.
This is probably going to be the last weekend that you can spray weeds out if they haven't already gone dormant. So a good lawn weed killer, if you're going after bindweed, quinclorax, something like Image All-in-One Season or Image All-in-One Weed Killer, something similar, that would be something. Watering, don't worry about it. The lawn will be fine, you know, especially because irrigation's been turned off. I haven't watered my lawn in 6 weeks, and it's still, for the most part, it's very green.
It's been at least that long for me. And the other thing is, this weekend would be a great time to get the fertilizer down because we're going to get some water from Mother Nature to put it in.
So I've been cleaning my shed out, and I found two or three bags of partial, just a third of the fertilizer left. So that will be something I'll do this afternoon. And there are three different kinds of fertilizer, and the lawn won't know. So
I picked up my fertilizer just this week, as a matter of fact. And I always, and this is probably just me, I don't have anything to back this up, but I always like to put it down as late as I possibly can.
Yeah, the grass is still growing, and even through the winter, you get a little bit of growth. You know, you cut it down to an inch and a half on your last mowing, but for some reason, the next year, it's at 3 inches, and that first mowing is always, you know, it's the roughest one if you regularly mow.
If you wait too long, especially.
Yeah. So that one, that's fine to do. I don't do a lot of bargain shopping. But if through mid-October through mid-November, I frequent Lowe's, Home Depot, Walmart, looking for clearance, fertilizer especially. A couple of years ago, I found fertilizer at, I think, Walmart for $5 a bag. They were originally $30. I bought 2 or 3 years worth, and I'm finally running out. As long as the fertilizer's kept dry, it doesn't expire. It's not affected by cold weather.
It's just chemicals, you know.
Yeah, it's just pelletized
salts,
pretty much.
Yeah, so, but I don't know if you're going to find it on sale, but it is hugely important to get that last one down.
It is.
You can skip the ones earlier in the year. This is the one, if you're going to fertilize once, now is the time.
The fall fertilization is the most critical. The second most critical is sometime around Mother's Day.
Yeah. You know, I skipped that one this year.
It's all good.
As long as my lawn looks healthy, I don't need to make it grow more.
Yeah. I mean, I don't imagine your bride on Mother's Day was, "Dave, you've ruined it because you didn't fertilize my lawn."
That's right. You know, as long as it's growing and it looks good, I don't always do that spring. And I will occasionally do like a light fertilization in July, depending on how the lawn's doing, but I always get the fall one in.
Yeah, yeah, that is the critical one to do. So another question, when in St. George can you plant palm trees? Any time of the year would be fine. Right now with temperatures cooling down, you're probably okay, or in the spring, but cooler weather is going to be better because it's easier to get them established than when it's 110 degrees.
What is the sensitivity of palm trees to cold? Because it does freeze occasionally.
St. George, every 20 years or so, a lot of the palm trees get wiped out because it really is a little far north. The most cold hardy palm trees are going to tolerate a few hours around 0 to 10 degrees, but that's just 1 or 2 hours. The ones that are growing in St. George will tolerate temperatures usually down to about 15. And be okay. Anything lower than 15 really seems to do a number on them. But, you know, it is our closest thing we have to kind of an oasis in the desert, and there's a lot of population there. And I do like the palm tree look, but it's just St. George is the farthest north that you can reasonably grow palm trees.
It just seems where anywhere that and, it could freeze.
Yeah, mesquite.
It's risky.
Is about a half a zone to a full zone warmer. And just that little difference, the palm trees do so much better in mesquite than they do. They can still get damaged, but Moapa Valley into Las Vegas, those are kind of the sweet spots. And so the farthest north are native palm trees. So we have one to the west. It's called California fan palm. The farthest north it grows is about an hour or so outside of Las Vegas in an oasis that the LDS Church used to own, that they donated it back to Nevada, I think for a preserve and a park. But there's this one little area, and then you see the California fan palms around Lake Mead. And that's as far north as palms naturally grow.
Yeah, so St. George is not just on the edge, it's a tad too far.
It is. You do find some species of palm trees growing as far north as southern Oklahoma, but we don't give credit to Oklahoma for how warm it can be in the winter. They do get winter weather, but they also can get 50, 55 degree weather. And so the palm trees in Oklahoma are in very protected spots. They're ones that don't grow super tall, and they're more of a runnering species. But those palm trees will tolerate temperatures down to 0 to 10 degrees.
Yeah, when I
think that's the farthest north in the United States we have palms.
When I think of palm trees, what comes to mind is Las Vegas, Arizona, Southern California. That's when I think of a palm tree, that's where my mind goes.
You know, and there is a whole subculture of hardy palm tree growers out there. There's actually a Utah Facebook group devoted to it. But I'm watching right now the people growing these, and they are building frames out of 2x4s and then putting 6-inch styrofoam panels around, you know, and fastening to the 2x4s and putting an incandescent bulb in there to keep them warm.
Well, while you can still get them anyway.
Yes.
All right, let's answer one more text here before we go to break. I've got one here. When should I prune my rose bushes? Some of mine grew to 7 feet this year. That's Bill in South Jordan.
Do not do major pruning. You can probably in a couple of weeks. The canes that are the tallest that are likely to split out with snow, cut those back. But the major pruning will be done in mid-March. And you'll prune that rose that tall back to probably 4 main canes, 4 of the healthiest canes, to about thigh height, and then let it regrow. If you're worried about it dying over the winter, you can get chunk bark in bags and just pile it up around the base of the rose best you can, 6 inches to a foot high. You're basically making a volcano mound around the base. And then you would take that off mid to late March of next year.
Basically, generally, especially over the last few weeks, what we've heard you say, Ton, is take your pruning shears, lock them up, throw away the key until spring.
Yes, and that's what you do. I read an old book about a guy selling a cure for drinking alcohol, you know, because a lot of people, you know, I shouldn't, but I do, whatever. And his solution was to get a rope and have your mom tie your arms behind your back until the temptation goes away.
Very practical.
Yeah, very practical. But sometimes I want to do that with pruners and pruning shears, the electrical shears and things.
Just say no.
We go crazy in the fall, and it's actually better to do in the spring.
Well, and the thing is, you know, for the gardeners who really love being outside and doing that work, by the time you get to spring, they're itching to do something.
They right? are.
And so save it for when you're going to enjoy it even more, right?
Yeah, I took a call from somebody saying, well, I'm going to prune my grapes today. And I was like, please don't. That's actually a mid-April thing. Mid to late April is when you want to do your grapes. And so in general, unless you're cutting down trees completely or removing shrubs, you don't want to do any major pruning in the fall unless it's dead or diseased wood or something that's presenting a hazard, you know, to people walking on the sidewalk, pulling out of your driveway, people trying to see around the corner. You know, if it's in danger of falling on your house, that always comes out when the danger is presented. But otherwise, if it's healthy wood, do not prune it until trees. You can start in mid-January if they're shade trees, but that mid-February to mid-March
right.
is a key
and,
time.
And that's the thing. If you really are that much of an avid gardener that you just want to get out there and do something, there's really nothing you can do in January, February, except some prune. Of this pruning.
Yes.
So save it for when it's going
yeah,
to be
right
fun
now,
for you.
If the urge is too strong to overcome, you know, the Bible says for those who cannot contain, it is better to marry than to burn. We'll translate this to horticulture. And if you cannot contain, give your pruners temporarily to the neighbors, have your spouse tie your arms behind your back, and let's leave the pruning alone.
All right. We'll get away from the Bible Hour and back to the Greenhouse Show on the other side of this
hey,
break.
Whenever we can translate the Bible into horticulture, we're good.
All right. Let's take that break now. We'll be back with more of the Greenhouse Show on the other side on KSL News Radio. Welcome back to the Greenhouse Show on KSL. Todd, we've been taking and answering a lot of texts, but if you have a question, now's a great time to call. All the lines are open, 575-TALK, and that can get you in, and we'll be able to answer your questions live on the radio. But for now, let's take another text.
Well, this one is especially appropriate. Can I put a pre-emergent down now, or would I still be able to plant grass next year? There is absolutely no reason to put a pre-emergent down. Well, there's very few, but don't do it. That's only thing that you'd put pre-emergent down now for is if you had problems with annual bluegrass or cheatgrass that germinates in early spring, because it may overwinter with a cooler weather, but you could not plant next year, and you need to look at the label, but the general weight to plant once you put a pre-emergent down is a calendar year.
Yeah, generally pre-emergent is something that we're looking at March, April. Is that right?
Yeah, March is usually too early. I'm looking sometime the 1st of April to mid-April.
And again, you have to be careful about where you're going to put that.
You really do. If you put pre-emergent down, that eliminates the possibility of doing seed.
Yeah, if you've got a place you're going to transplant some plants, like maybe it's your vegetable garden and you've had issues with, like, in my case, spurge, right?
Yeah.
And I think this is a situation I'm going to have in the spring. Is I'm going to put down I've never used one, but I'm going to do one next year. See if I can get rid of the spurge. I controlled it much better this year, but it was still there. So I'm going to try and put that pre-emergent down. But it's also a place I'm going to plant tomatoes, but I plant starts, so I think I'm going to be okay.
So if you're using pre-emergent in your garden, there's very few brands you can actually use, but you get your seed-grown stuff up first and get your transplants in and then carefully apply that pre-emergent, because there are situations where pre-emergent can be very bad for a garden. Corn, you know, the preen everybody uses, or Treflan, it's not registered for use around corn.
Mm-hmm.
We had a situation to where somebody had quite a large garden and they planted tomatoes, then put pre-emergent down and covered the pre-emergent with 3 inches of mulch. The pre-emergent couldn't off-gas up, and so that the gas from the pre-emergent, or, you know, it vaporized. That's how it kind of prevents the seeds, and it vaporized into the soil. And it caused a condition called club root, and it ruined the tomato crop.
Mm.
And so you do need to be careful and follow the instructions, but when they're used correctly, pre-emergent products can be powerful tools.
Now, if, you know, in my case where the pre-emergent would go down, say, early April, my tomatoes probably aren't going to go in for another 6 to 8 weeks. Is that time gap enough to save me, or I still have to be very careful about the pre-emergent I choose?
You have to be careful. And if you're using a mulch in your garden, the pre-emergent goes on top of the mulch.
Yeah. And which I technically do, because I put the grass clippings on. So what would be on that surface still next year is whatever grass clippings are left over from this year.
Yeah. So, and that's just the key. Don't cover pre-emergent with anything. It needs to be on the soil surface or the surface of what is there. So another text says, do we need to prune blackberries in the fall? They're one of the few things that you can prune, but I would wait until mid-November. The brambles can be pruned in the fall or spring.
All right, let's take a call here. We got a few folks on the line. Wade is called in from South Weber. Good morning, Wade. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
Hanging in there. How can we help you out?
Yeah, just had a question for you. I've heard about a fruit called the pawpaw fruit, and I wondered about the fruit trees, and I live in South Weber and was wondering about planting a few. I've never tried them, but I've heard that they're kind of an interesting flavor and taste, and thought wanted to get your opinion on that.
There are people growing them here. They are one that obviously aren't super common. They need to, the fruit, it doesn't partially rot, but it needs to be kind of be cured, I guess, and it improves with cold temperatures. What I would actually do is look up a fact sheet from Cornell University. And if you just do an internet search of Cornell University in pawpaw, it'll bring up a growing guide for you. They're absolutely hardy here. And then there's also a Facebook group that is a rare fruit, Utah Rare Fruit Growers. And join that Facebook group because there are several people growing pawpaws there that are successfully doing it.
Okay.
All right.
I'll give it a try.
You better
drop
one by so we can try it out too next year. Thanks, Wade. David's calling in from Lehigh. We got a couple minutes here. David, how can we help you out?
Hi, I'm just wondering about getting my lawn ready for next year. And it's just, it's really, if I cut into it, it's just really thick, dense clay. And I'm wondering if about something to loosen it up. I've heard Stan, but I wanted to call and ask you if that's good or if there's something
What, Stan?
What product?
Sand.
Oh, absolutely. Do not do that. Absolutely not. You'll make adobe clay doing that. compost.
I'm glad I called.
Yeah. So what I would actually do is aerate, and it's getting a little late. You could do it this fall, but what you're going to do is aerate and leave the plugs on the lawn, and then you want a finely ground compost, and you would just very lightly apply that once a month to your lawn. And what you're trying to do is you're pulling those plugs out, and as they disintegrate back to the top of the soil layer, putting that compost on top of the grass as it penetrates into the thatch layer and down, you'll start establishing a layer of soil that has better drainage, and over, you know, a few years, you can make a lot healthier situation.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
All right, David, good luck with that. I live in Lehigh, Teuton, and it is, for the much of the city, very hard clay, but you know, it doesn't seem to bother the lawn a whole lot as long as you aerate. You know,
aerate. People are very successfully garden. There were a lot of farms there until the last 10 or so years, especially on the Redwood Road corridor.
Yep.
And Lehigh has historically had very productive soil, even though it's a clay or clay loam by nature.
Yeah, it's not too bad. All right, we're going to take a break. Sherry and Kirk, we know you're on the line. We're going to get to you on the other side of news, so please be patient there. And again, we're going to take a break here, Ton. We're going to go to the news, traffic and weather at the top of the hour. Coming back, we're going to have more on the KSL Greenhouse Show. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you on the other side of news.